Good morning. Great to be here. Well, as you heard, we're getting towards the end of our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And in this chapter, chapter 7, Jesus is telling his followers that the Christian life involves a lot of choices and that making good choices is important. Today we heard, Today we heard just two verses out of that chapter. And in these two verses, Jesus is warning that many people will make wrong choices, and he uses the image of people traveling by different roads and entering buildings through different gates. Many people, he says, will be swept along with the crowd on the wide road, the easy road. They will go into the town through the wide gate, which is the easy way in. Only a minority will travel by a narrow road and squeeze through a narrow gate. But the narrow gate is the one that leads to God's presence, and the other one doesn't. Now, the disciples listening to this, they often didn't understand what Jesus was saying when he spoke in parables, and he used images like this one. On this occasion, they could have said, "What gate? What road? I don't see any gate. What is he talking about?" But they don't do that this time, or at least if they did, it's not recorded. I think I know why they didn't say that. I think it was because they had already seen people making the wrong choices all around them. The prime example, of course, was the episode of the rich young man who wanted to join Jesus' team as a disciple. He was an excellent candidate in many ways, but when Jesus told him he would have to give up all his wealth, he realized he couldn't do it, and he went away sad. Like in a Greek tragedy, one flaw in his character meant that he could not pass through the narrow gate to find God. And I imagine that this episode had quite an effect on the disciples who saw and heard it. And this wasn't unique either. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, for instance, we read that many of Jesus' disciples turned away from him and no longer followed him, leaving just the 12. Many people were interested, but not for very long. By the time of the crucifixion, there may have been just a few hundred true believers. So in this passage, Jesus is teaching the disciples about the importance of good choices, but maybe he's also making a prophecy. Jesus quite often told his disciples what to expect in the days and years to come, because if they knew what to expect, they would be reassured and would be confident of their role in God's plan, no matter what happened. And in this case, I think the prophecy may have been about the course of history generally. As we know, Jesus had come primarily as the Messiah of God's chosen people, the Israelites. But, as we now know, the majority of God's chosen people would not accept him as Messiah. So he was warning the disciples not to be discouraged when they realized that by recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, they would be only a small minority of God's chosen people. Now, when we hear this passage, we probably think, how will I know what's the wide gate and what's the narrow one? If only a few people find the right gate, does that mean I've got to avoid crowds? Why is it the narrow gate that's the way to God and the wide gate that isn't? So I think to answer these questions, we need to focus really on the image itself, the wideness and the narrowness. I've got 2 points about this. Let's imagine marching through a wide gate accompanied by all our possessions, with a crowd of our friends and acquaintances, bringing all the things that are important to us. Now that would be, of course, relying on the things of this world. That would be like saying, here I am, God, take me on my own terms. And on the other side of the equation, if you like, let's imagine squeezing through a narrow entrance that's only just wide enough if you go sideways. Think perhaps of squeezing in or out of a car when you've parked too close to the car beside you. No room to take anything with you. Jesus wanted people to think about that physical contrast of wide and narrow, and to think of coming to God on God's terms and not on their own terms. So I think the image is telling us that to be close to God, we've got to make sure nothing gets in the way. People who do find God don't rely on themselves and what they brought with them. In the second letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul tells how he pleaded to have a thorn in his flesh removed, but God replied, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now, my second point is a bit more of a stretch, but I hope it's going to work for you. A wide gate implies what? It implies self-importance. Let's imagine, please, a large, grand building made of grey stone. Imagine wide steps leading up to a wide entranceway, granite pillars on both sides, perhaps. Ring a bell for anyone? Sounds like Parliament buildings to anybody? Yeah, that you're spot on. Parliament building is meant to look important. Okay. I once worked there, a long time ago, and gave me a feeling of self-importance just going into it, which of course was completely unjustified. And I realize now that this was not a godly feeling that I had. So, now what about us in the here and now? So far I've been making it sound rather difficult to find the narrow gate. Word difficulty and squeezing, and I've made it sound like it's a terrible challenge to get through the narrow gate and into God's presence. But for us here, in the here and the now, it's actually not hard at all. So where is the narrow gate to God in the here and now? Well, I'm looking at it. And we all know it because we came through it to get to our seats. It's the door into this church. Here in this church, we are in God's presence. Here in this church, we are definitely not with the big crowds, because the big crowds in New Zealand today do not worship God. And our worship here shows that we have left behind our self-importance. That's what worship is. We recognize something much greater, much more important than ourselves. We recognize that God is the center of things. And as we worship, we recognize that it is God we rely on and not on the ordinary things of this world. So that's why I am saying that belonging to this church is our narrow gate, our way to God's presence and to his many blessings for us. There's no doubt in my mind, many years of experience to back this up, that we do find God here. So I'm coming into land, and I'm coming back to something I think is essential in our journeys of faith. The way we find God is through humility and recognizing his greatness. The prophet Micah hit the nail on the head. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." It's the walking humbly bit that fits here. So going through that narrow gate is essential, firstly because it shows we rely on God alone and not what we bring with us. Secondly, because it shows that the grand building or gate isn't what attracts us. Worshipping in this church is our narrow gate. Worshipping is a sign that we are walking humbly with our God. Amen.